Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Rooster Crows Podcast. My name is Tyler Campbell, and today we'll be hearing a sermon by Reverend Stephen Milton. Today's sermon is titled, Who Are You?
Today I want to talk about a famous story in the book of Genesis. It's that day when Abraham meets three angels. But he doesn't know it. Three men suddenly appear in Abraham's camp when he's 99 years old. His wife, Sarah, is 90. They've been promised a child by God, but it seems way too late now. So on this hot afternoon, Abraham greets these three strangers who just suddenly appear out of nowhere, and he invites them to stay for a meal. Many artists have painted this scene. And in our time, the most famous image is one by Marc Chagall. It's very colorful, and what we see are the three men are clearly portrayed as angels. They sit with their backs to us as Sarah and Abraham serve them food. But the painting erases a key ambiguity in the story, because it shows the angels with wings. Yet, in this story, like all the Bible stories about angels on earth, there's no mention of wings. Instead, Abraham assumes that these three strangers are just ordinary men, travelers who are just passing through. He offers them hospitality, a key virtue in the Bible. He assumes that they eat like human beings because he thinks they're human beings. And that after a dinner with Abraham and Sarah, they will just keep on going. He doesn't appear to know or suspect that they are angels. Abraham goes out of his way to be a great host to these three strangers. He tells his wife Sarah to get busy, measure out three seahs of flour and get baking. He also tells one of his servants to go kill a calf and get cooking. Now, if there's any bakers among you, you'll know that if you want to make a couple loaves of risen bread, that takes about 5 cups of flour. Sarah, though, has been asked to measure out 16 kilograms of flour, which is enough for 53 loaves of risen bread. If she was making flatbreads, that would be even more. So we're talking about more than is needed for these three strangers. So there's a sense of radical abundance to this story. Also, Sarah is asked to make the bread herself, with no help from her servants. And Abraham, who's the head of this extended household, he's also acting as a servant, bringing food to the table. He wants to make sure that these strangers are treated with great care and respect. Now, it takes time to make bread, and it takes time to kill a calf, butcher it, and cook it. Abraham has time to get to know these men, probably many hours. So perhaps their true identity becomes clearer over the intervening hours as the meal is prepared. But this story begs a question. How do you know when you're in the presence of the divine? How do you know if God is within the person across the table from you? This story casts a long shadow for Christians. In the New Testament, the author of the letter to the Hebrews makes a reference to the story. He says, quote, "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." And that's from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Now, Jesus takes this story much further. A little while before he's arrested, Jesus describes the day of judgment that will occur at the end of time. And he says that the people who took care of the naked and the sick and the prisoner will be rewarded. Those people, Jesus explains, were actually me. I was in them, Jesus says. But this is confusing to his followers who have helped those in need. And so they will say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you, a stranger, invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, Jesus says, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. That's from the end of Matthew 25. Christ has taken the idea of helping strangers to a whole new level. Anyone who needs help is really Jesus in disguise. I remember hearing this early on in my Christian journey and being very perplexed. Does this mean that we should treat all vulnerable people well because there's a chance that maybe one of them might be Jesus? So if you took care of 100 people through acts of compassion and charity, you might actually meet Jesus in one of them? And if so, how would you know? It's a strange and weird idea. But one that's very powerful. Mother Teresa worked in the poorest areas of Calcutta, India. She was a Catholic nun who ran charities for street children and people in deep poverty. She referred to the poor as Christ in his distressing disguise. In fact, when asked how she could believe so clearly that Jesus was in every person she met, she would often grab a person's hand, and quoting from Matthew 25, she would tug on each finger, saying, you did it to me. The gospel summed up in 5 words. Is Jesus only in people who are poor and in distress? We're told very clearly in the beginning of Genesis that each one of us is made in the image and likeness of God. That's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God is within us. That's in Luke chapter 17. Within us, not just a place far away or in a far-off time after we die, but the kingdom of God is within us right now. This suggests that each of us has divinity within us all the time, not just when we are in distress. But that divinity is often hard to feel. We may doubt that it's in us. When that happens, it's a good time to pray or meditate. When we get quiet, we can push our busy egos to the side for a while and let God's place within us get some attention. We've been told that our bodies are temples for God's Spirit. Each of us is a place where God can dwell, although we often don't notice this. It's easier to believe that someone who is famous and successful has some inner light in them. People like Oprah, or artists like Bono, or some politicians like Nelson Mandela or Jimmy Carter. Pope Francis obviously had that inner light, as does the Dalai Lama. But society often doubts that inner divinity is in people who are in distress. The homeless person on the corner who begs for money. The mentally unwell person on the street who's yelling at the top of their lungs at no one. The inebriated person passed out in an alley with a bottle or a needle in their hand. Or a murderer or a thief. How can these people be considered divine? That is why Jesus makes such a point of saying that each time we tend to these people in their distress, we are tending to Jesus. The divine is in all of us, even those who are in the greatest trouble, who may have lost it all. They are just as divine as the most respected leaders. On that day under the oak trees, Abraham had no idea he was entertaining God by feeding those 3 strangers. Abraham, by this time, had spoken to God many times, but there had never been a meeting in the flesh. And it had been over 20 years since he first heard God's voice promise that he would become the father of a baby in his old age. Yet, during all this time, Sarah remained without child. And then, one day, God appears in the guise of these 3 men. Disguised. And without revealing who they are, Abraham feeds them fresh bread and meat. I ask you, is it a coincidence that it's on this day, when Abraham treated these 3 strangers so well? Is it a coincidence that this is the day that Sarah learns she will finally become pregnant? an event, a promise so outlandish that she laughs? This story is part of our collective education about our relationship to God and each other. It appears that when we treat each other with respect and care, that is when our divinity is easiest to sense. Abraham's reward of a child in his old age begins on the same day that he and Sarah show hospitality for these dusty travelers. They seem to be nobodies, but turn out to be God in disguise. Our faith tells us that we are all God in disguise, dwelling places for the Holy Spirit. So, on this day and every day, may we see the Spirit in others, even when it is well disguised. May we assume that it is there. And may we remember that it dwells in us even when we feel low. May we help make a world where every person is treated more like an angel than as a stranger. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Rooster Crows podcast. We at Lawrence Park Community Church are a progressive church in North Toronto. If you'd like to learn more about our church and things that we do, check our YouTube channel, which has recordings of entire services and sermons. For any more details, check our website at lawrenceparkchurch.ca. As we finish this podcast, we're going to hear our music director, Dr. Daniel Rubinoff, and our soloist, Paul Winkelmans, perform Prayer. We hope you enjoy and have a wonderful week. Oh.